And you might like to open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. And in the process of our sharing together in the light of the outworking of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 13. So, being in the presence of God, and we are, and here's the whole world, if you can just use your imagination, and you go down the street, go into the city, go any way you want, all over the world, wherever you want to go. And how much of the human population is conscious of God, His presence? And how is it evidenced? How is it evidenced that they're conscious of God? Now, so, in the light of our look exercise of late, go with me in Matthew chapter, and keep in mind, we're looking at having and not having what one thinks he or she has. So we're looking at God. God's telling the human heart, they're to have a real and right relationship to God here and now, all over the world. Christ died for every human being walking planet Earth right now. And He died for them. And He's present now. So therefore, we're trying to understand a little better in the light of Matthew 13, which is written to help us understand how the time goes from the crucifixion of Christ all the way to the Lord's return at the end of the tribulation. Now, having said that, we share together a statement made by the Lord, chapter 8, going to verse 18, if I may. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Now, we did that in Mark, what you hear, W-H-A-T. Now, we're looking at Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, whatever I said. And Luke 8 and 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whomsoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he seemeth to have. He seems to have, present tense. He thinks he has something. He supposes he has something. He thinks he has it, but he doesn't. So therefore, we're trying to understand that. In order to understand that, you got to go back to square one, over to Book of Romans, and always Book of Romans, and in chapter one. And you will note. And we'll do it just so you lock it in, so there's no question. Romans in chapter one is telling us God is the right one to be trusting His righteousness. And if you don't trust it, you're in trouble. So here's the book of Romans, in chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, now the word hold, to have in your hand and hold tight, to have and to hold it. Not just to have it, but to hold it. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they have reality, but they don't want to face reality. Therefore, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. And there would be no question, God makes it known in them. And God showed it, shows it to them. Not you did it, or I did it, or anyone needs to do it. God did it. God did it. Every human, every baby born, God has created and gives them a soul and spirit and gives them life. Life, that's what they have when they're born on planet Earth. And God makes himself wonderfully, wonderfully known to him. Now, having said that, and God has showed it unto them. And verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his deity, so that they are without excuse, because, verse 21, that when they knew, K-N-E-W, they knew God. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So here we are looking, and God, sliding over verse 20, verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of God into idols and idolatry. And God gave them up. That's what they wanted, and that's what they did. Think of the Noah, 120 years, and all those people, and there's only eight people that make it. Eight people, a lot of people. Eight people, and eight people. We don't hear a word about God. They didn't even... they're down here on earth, as it were, then they aren't even thinking about God when he was right in front of them. Now, so therefore, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. So they changed. It isn't a question they didn't know. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They didn't even want to think about God. They didn't want to think about him. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or fitting. Sliding down to verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So there's, now we're looking, so everyone born is to, as the God helps them to know him. No matter where you're born, no matter when you're born, in the days of Noah, or in the days of the tribulation, everyone born, God helps them to know him. At square one. Now, so that happened, got that. So we got that part. They're unsaved people. They have the right to know, but they choose not to know. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so God and his awesome, over to Matthew chapter 13. And in Matthew chapter 13, picking up, if I may, in verse 12. Now, God's going to help them in understanding that people know. It's what they're going to do with what they know. So when we're walking up and down on earth and all that's happening, it isn't a question that they don't know. It isn't a question that it's because they do know and they choose not to know. So therefore, chapter 13, as we looked at, picking up, please, in verse 9. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and asked him, saying, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, more than enough, over and above, more than enough. He shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. So everyone starts with something. Everyone starts with it. But if they don't want to hold it, it disappears. Remember, they don't remember what you read in Romans 1:18. Having the truth, they didn't want to hold it. They have it, but they don't want to hold it. Empty hand. Don't want to hold it. Why don't they have it? They did. They didn't have to have anybody to help them. God himself did it. And so if they don't want to have it, they don't. They lose it. Now, and it's taken away even that which he hath. So therefore, knowing not and choosing not to know, they chose not to know. And having not, they choose not to have. They don't want to know, and they don't. They don't want to have, and they don't. It's the right of every human being. God has given them the right to choose. Having, making possible, having. So the more you having something, God gave them himself. So if you start with God, and all you have to do is just believe, and God would keep going in the heart, and the little boy or girl or baby would grow up and know. That's what they do. So having makes possible having. And having is not the same, remember, as hearing. He that hath an ear to hear. Hearing is one thing. Having in your understanding is another. You could listen to 10 lectures and hear all the lectures and everything and hear them and never go up and go out the door with never having them. You hear them. Hearing is one thing. Having them is another. And so therefore, and God, where are we going to go when God deals with our heart? We receive Christ as our Savior, and in Christ in us, we have everything. Now, remember we did that all these different times. Just think, when you receive Christ as your Savior, if you do, when you receive Christ as your Savior, you will note, remember, just to do it so you see it. When you receive Christ as your Savior, in the process, there you are. And you receive Christ as your Savior. And God brings to you, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord, you receive him as your Savior, and you, God brings to you all that you are not. God brings to you the life that you don't have, which is his, and to have the relationship that God meant you to enjoy. So not only is that true, but at the same time, God, that Christ is in you, and you are in Christ, and Christ is in God. That's what it says. And you can read page after page, that's what it says. A unique relationship. That's when you have it. You've got the whole, you've got everything in Christ. Now what do you got to do? Having it is one thing. Letting it become yours is something else. So now, having that in mind, keeping that to see it, therefore. And so looking in Christ, God's wonderful word. And it will pay to go back to Hebrews 4 for a minute. And in Hebrews chapter 4. And why spend time on this? Because I think it's pretty critical that God tells you, what you have, you may lose. I think that's pretty serious to me. Let's say I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I go to church, good. And you may end up with nothing. It doesn't mean you weren't saved. It just means you end up with nothing. That's pretty serious to me. Pretty serious. So I want to understand this. This, no, whoever thinks about it. And back over, if I can, where we go in Hebrews in chapter 4. And remember it. It says it. And remember, they were to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and enjoy God's wonderful person and presence. Chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, God's rest, not ours, any of you should seem to come short of it. God's wonderful plan, to say it simply, God's wonderful plan for your life that God has, to be able to enjoy all that God had in mind when he died, when he created you, and when he died on the cross to save you. Verse 2. For unto us, the God, what's the explanation? For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why didn't it profit them? Not being mixed with faith, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't believe. They had, what did you just read in Romans? They had it. Now, what is this saying to the Israelites? They had the good news. They had it. It wasn't a question. Everything was given to them. But they didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. And that's what they needed to do. Faith takes hold. You put the key in the car. You put your key in the ignition because you believe. You have faith. You believe. The key, right key for the right car, and it should start the car. The right key opens the door to your house. The right, whatever. The right anything, the right menu that you're working from in the restaurant. You pick what you want, and it comes to you because you're doing the faith. By faith, you believe the menu picture, and you believe the menu, and you make an action and believe, and the waiter brings you the food that you pointed to in the menu. How did that happen? You believed God. You believed the menu. What do we need to do? What was the problem? God has a wonderful plan, Romans chapter 1, about the human heart. Did not want to believe. Did not want to believe it. Didn't want to have faith. Faith makes it, grabs hold of everything. Faith grabs it. You're sitting in the pew 100 times. Sitting in the pew's holding you. You're trusting the pew to be the pew by faith. That's what you're doing. You're resting in it. Now, you didn't decide it. You didn't come do it. It's just what you do. You believe it. You didn't talk about it and think about it. I believe that's a pew, and I can sit in it. And that's what you did. Without faith, Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it's, what's that little word? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, period. He is. He is. And without faith, you're not going anywhere. You got to believe. You got to believe. You believe the dentist is the dentist, and et cetera, et cetera. And you have to believe God is God. He's not less than God, other than God. He's God. So therefore they needed to have faith in God. And had faith in God's wonderful person in a wonderful way. And you need to learn. You need to go and have more. And so you need to learn it, using an illustration and then going different. If you go to school, when you go to school, you go there to learn. And you learn multiplication, all those different things. And you go to school to learn. And you're learning. Now, and if you don't keep learning, you'll never get to the second grade, and you'll never get to the third grade unless you keep learning. And you have to keep learning. And so everything you get has to have more and more. And the more you don't take it in, then you don't go to the second grade. You stay in the first grade. You don't go there because you didn't, what? The first grade, and by the way, the first grade won't do you much good very, very long because the world around you isn't reading and thinking first grade. The world around you isn't doing that. And so if you want to fit in, you're going to have to go to the second and third grade. Otherwise, you're not going to fit in to the world you live in. And therefore, you got to keep learning. You can't enjoy God's wonderful person if you don't keep learning. How are you going to enjoy it? Well, he's there or something, and I forget it, it's all over. I can't, if I didn't keep learning and don't keep learning, I'm not going to enjoy the God's wonderful presence. And God isn't going to talk to me in mumble jumbo. He's going to go and take his word and make his word work in our little heart as we read and think and understand it. That's what God's going to do. But I have to want to grow. So I've got to learn. And in the process, you have the same thing. If you get a job, don't you have to be trained? Someone has to help you understand the job. Why? So you can do the job. I don't care what it is. You come in, not unless you own the company. You have to learn a job. Learn what they want done and how they want it done. And that's what you do. And you learn it. And if you learn well, then you're able to do the job and do it. And you can do it in a wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so therefore, that little thought or two makes you think about understanding, in Hebrews 4, remember, they didn't take and believe, have faith. They didn't believe what they were reading, what they were understanding, what they were hearing. Over now to Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 11, may I pick up, please, which, you know, again, all we're doing is trying to lock it in better because it's so important. Verse 27, all things were delivered in chapter 11. All things, verse 27, are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save or except the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Christ, God in Christ, so you could see him. How can you see God? God made born in Bethlehem of Judea, so we could come to grips in the light of who we are, in the light of who God is. Verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And remember, we've been doing this of late, so it's familiar to you. Just think of the big ox yoke and under the one side of it, on one side of the yoke is our Lord. And on one side, and the God's moving, the Lord Jesus is out working the will of God under the yoke, as it were, to in the light of God, God's wonderful will and working. And the believer is to what? To join and know God's wonderful working in a wonderful way, and they're to get their head under the other end side of the yoke. So that under the yoke, and what are they going to do? What are you saying, Lord? I want you to learn. I want you to enjoy a wonderful, wonderful resting. And God has a fit, Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to enjoy a wonderful resting. I created you and had a wonderful plan for your life. I have a wonderful plan for your life. I'm going to outwork that plan. But I need you to be saved. That's what I need. I have a wonderful plan to outwork in your life. So now we are, having said that, and so what are you going to do? Well, you put your head under the yoke because what you want to learn. Get your experience, to have it be a real experience in your life. Where am I going to learn? Where's the source of this learning? Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm the source, he said. Learn about me. And then you know, now put it together, John 5:39 and all of it. When you read the scriptures and you turn the pages from Genesis to Revelation, they all speak of me, he said. So how am I going to learn of you, Lord? Matthew 11:29. You've got a whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to help you learn. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm the source. You're going to learn all about me, all about who I am. I was there when you were born. I gave you physical life. I give you spiritual life. And you have to trust me and learn of me. If you don't learn of me, then you'll never know. It doesn't mean you aren't saved. It's just you aren't under the yoke. You never learn. Never learn. Could have learned, but you didn't. And you know that's the bema seat of Christ. Then you'll be saved, but by fire. That's what I'm going to do. Most people are going to be saved by fire. They're saved. And God can't unsave them because he died for them. And they receive him as a savior. But they missed out. They missed out. They didn't have to miss out. They chose to miss out. Therefore, Matthew 13 and 12, he that hath, to him shall much more be given. If you go to the third grade, then you're ready. What's the third grade doing? Getting ready for the fourth grade. Getting you ready. You keep going by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's what we're doing. Without faith, it's impossible to please me, he said. So therefore, keeping all of that in mind, in the process, so looking at God, so we have the under the yoke, he's the source, and we're to be changing. That's what we're going to do. We're learning. And over to 2 Corinthians, as you would know, but just again, lock it in. Second Corinthians, and in chapter 3. Now, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty of freedom to grow, to know. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Father. So what I'm having, I'm learning. Now, I just read that verse. To what measure do you understand that in practical use in your life? How's that? To what measure does that work in your life? You read it. Teach it. Preach it. How real is it? How real is any of them? You see, that's the whole point. We want to grow. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and while you hit that, do that again. I didn't mean to lose it. Verse 18. But we all, with open face, no covering, we want to see ourselves as we are, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord. We're looking at God's word, and God's word isn't going to honor your flesh. He's going to honor our Lord Jesus Christ and your unique, wonderful relationship to him, that you can be changed. That's what you're doing. That's why people don't get too involved, because they got to change. You got to change your thinking, your feeling, what you do, how you do everything. It affects your life. And people don't want to have, I've got my, this is how I think, this is how I've been raised, this is how I work my everything, this is how I manage my life. But Christ crucified that life. He don't want you to manage your life. He wants you to enjoy a new life in Christ. Not to go manage it. No, that's, I'm going to manage it better. Well, you may, and that's good. But that isn't what being saved is. God has given you his wonderful life, and God's there. Learn of him. He's meek and lowly in heart, and he will help you. Under the yoke, he'll teach you. He goes, he's going to help you. He's long before being angry, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, now, changed in image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Now, when you read that, hold your finger here and go over to the book of James. If you would. And you will note. Just to see it, so you see it easy. Remember what you have. You're looking at having something and not having it. As long as I'm looking at the Word of God, I see it, and I'm looking, asking God to help me to understand it, and I'm reading it. I'm going to trust him, help me to understand it, inch by inch, little by little. But if I choose to walk away from it, I'm not looking at it anymore. That's what he's saying. He that hath will lose what he has. It'll disappear. Because what are you losing? You're losing our relationship to God in a practical, profitable, pleasing way. You're losing the relationship practically. And you sort of get stupid about God. And you lose your relationship to God. So, head back, James, while you're here. Listen, watch it. Verse 25. But whoso looketh... Well, but let me read a little background to that. And verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, as we just talked about. But if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty continueth therein, he being not not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So you're looking, but we aren't just looking. I'm looking. I don't want to forget. I don't want to walk away. I want to learn. So he that hath, to him shall more be given, much more, because God's going to move you to the next way. And what? To enjoy a personal, intimate, practical relationship with God. Now, hang on. Back over if I can. In 2 Corinthians, and you remember, in 2 Corinthians, picking up, please, in verse chapter 4, right next door, in chapter 4. And remember, being saved, so you see it again. Chapter 4, verse 6, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined" where? "In our hearts." Why? "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." Where am I going to see the light? In the face of Jesus Christ, who we received as our Savior. Now, verse 7, "But we have this treasure, this awesome relationship, in earthen vessels of dust." Why? So there's no way to glory, because we got a body that's made of the dust, is dust, and goes back to dust. And there's nothing very glorious about it. We have a little baby that's very fresh, and all everything's there. And then you get older, and your body gets different. Your body's wearing, and everything's wearing out. Everything's wearing out. That's what it is. The body isn't beautiful anymore. The body isn't the same. Because flesh and blood cannot, what? 1 Corinthians 15. Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what are we doing? We're looking to understand. God did a wonderful thing in our heart. He made it. Made us to have enjoy his wonderful life, not our life, his life, in a wonderful way. And we're so therefore, verse 7 again, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power over and above and beyond may be of God and not of us, that the whole might be of God in a most wonderful, wonderful way." And that, so God, what are you going to do? And then the make it see it work in chapter 2, verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, clear, public, plain, the savor, the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place." In other words, we're learning, and what we're learning, and when it's changing our life, changes our thinking, changes our language, and lo and behold, when we listen, we're speaking, we're saying things that we would have never said because we understand them. They're different. We just understand. So therefore, God, it's a wonderful thing. Now, how do we ever get that? Chapter 3. Picking up, please, if I may, chapter 3, verse 5. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves." In other words, sufficient. Enough is there to be content. Everything you need, that all you need is there. When you are sufficient, you're able. You're able to do whatever because you have everything that you need. That's the word sufficient. "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency, our ability is of God." Where are we getting this? Well, we don't have it. God does. That's your relationship in a unique way. You have that relationship to exercise it. And that's what we're supposed to do, to enjoy it by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please me. So therefore, what you have, you keep getting more. And you have to have more because God will keep moving you. And you keep knowing, and you keep growing, and you keep knowing and growing. And that's what you're going to do. Now think how long you've been a believer. How's that? We ask ourselves. How long you've been a believer? And now think how much you learned in all those years. How much have you learned? How much has that affected your life in all these years? How much has it changed your life? I don't know. See? To what measure are we eating? If we don't, then we get sour and bitter and complaining about everything and anything. That's what happens. And therefore, God, who's sufficient, our sufficiency is of God, of verse 5. And that sufficiency makes it so that we're able to go and exercise verse 15, chapter 2. 15, chapter 2. 4. We are unto God a sweet savor. Remember what you read in verse 14. We're to be a fragrance of Christ. Verse 15, for we are unto God a sweet savor, a fragrance of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. In other words, everywhere we go, we're a fragrance, as it were. Verse 16, to the one we are a savor, a fragrance of death, and death, the dead people that are saved, unsaved, are really condemned. By that I mean, they know that they don't know the Lord like you do. They don't know the Lord. And because you know the Lord, they ought to know the Lord. And therefore, verse 16, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. In other words, that with the believers are encouraged because you're believing, that's what we're doing in loving one another, having that unity, oneness, that we encourage the believers, and we discourage we make the unsaved not too happy. And who is sufficient for these things? And that's what we read in verse 5. We are not sufficient, but God is. God is. And so what are we doing? We're looking for God to outwork His wonderful will in His wonderful way, as only He can. And we're to be the branch, and He's the vine, and we just stay attached to the tree, and we keep abiding. And if we keep abiding, we keep on having fruit. Now, we don't work at it. You don't work at it. You don't have to sit down and, what am I going to do to get it? No, just like we did with the light bulb. The light bulb, your spirit, body, soul, spirit, light bulb, the filament. And the filament has to be lit, plugged in. If you don't, it's just a light bulb. We're all little light bulbs, but we aren't lit. We have to be. God made us to enjoy Himself. God made the light bulb to have power from the electrical socket. And you have to have light. You have to plug it in. If you don't keep the plug in, the light doesn't light. If you don't keep abiding, you don't have fruit. You have to keep abiding. But what are you doing? You're just staying plugged in. You're just staying in fellowship. That's what you're doing. You aren't making anything work. It isn't because of your genius or your talent or anything. It's just you're led trusting God and abiding, staying plugged in. God's an ever-present help. I'm in His presence. We're in His presence all the time. And He's in us in a unique relationship, and we're to enjoy that relationship. We don't have to understand it all. We do, but we don't, because it's way past us. And it's going to take eternity to understand the magnificence of God and to enjoy God in an awesome, infinite way. And now we're talking terms that are out of reach. We can't handle them because it's too big. Wonderfully too big. Wonderfully. How big is God? Not this big. No. No, God's out of reach. There's no way we can say, I got you, God. I understand you enough. Now I got everything, God. I leave me alone. I got to know all about you. No, we don't know all about you, God. We're just learning about you. And we're trying to come to grips to enjoy your awesome presence. And therefore, as you said, If you would practice it, I've given you my word. Read my word and believe it. And I'm present to help you understand it. And you're going to rest in it. And I'm here to help you understand. So he that hath an ear to hear, let him read, let him believe. By faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. And God, we're going to do. We believe what you say. And God, you have to help us understand it in the most wonderful, wonderful way as we go down the corridor of time. And that's what you do, God, as only you can do it. Now, having said that, then, a simple thing that you know, statement you know, over to Philippians. And all we're doing is the same thing. Our Lord's, you know, someone said to Moody, I think it was Moody, how come you keep preaching or believing and being born again? Because you have to believe and be born again. And until you believe and be born again, I'm going to keep saying it to you. I'm going to keep saying it to you. And so we're reading the word. Now we're going to say, I'm going to say again, using that little bit, I'm going to say again to you. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians in chapter 2. And what do we know? Philippians in chapter 2, picking up, please, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more, in my absence, he's not there, he's in prison, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, work out. You're going to go first grade, third grade. You're doing one thing. One thing, can you work it out? Yes. Why can you work it out? Because God wants you to know him. Not even an ounce of question. God wants you to know him and to work it out. So therefore, since God wants that worked out, and that's what we're going to do. Because I can't do it. No, you can't. We just read that in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. What do we read? God said, the power you have is from God in these vessels of dust. The power is God's. The life is God's. The working is God's. So now, verse 13, for it is God, reason you can do it. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And God's able to do. God is doing it. So how am I going to go? To learn under the yoke. God's going to help us. But I need to understand a little bit what is required of me. God wants me to yield and learn and pay attention and have an ear to hear and to learn. And our Lord's going to say to his disciples, blessed are your ears and your eyes, for you hear and you see. They do not. Blessed are your eyes and your ears, because you understand. Blessed are you. Yeah. Anyway, I hope you got a little understand. I did it all again. I could do it 10 more times. And you know what? If I did, maybe you'd be surprised at what would change your life. You say, I don't want to hear it. That's like Isaiah 28, whatever. God said, I'm going to say it to you again and again. I'm going to say it to you again and again, over and over and over and over and over and over. I'm going to change your life. But the only way you'll change is to hear it again. And to close with that, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and Romans chapter 8, verse 15. What does the Spirit of God do for you and for me? He's saying, present tense, command, Abba, Father. Why do you have to keep saying that? Because that needs to sink into your head. He's your Father. honor him. No. And he says it over and all night long when you're trying to sleep. He's saying, Abba, Father, understand his assignment because of the Lord Jesus Christ is to make this possible in your life. And he's going to have to keep saying it to you 5,000 zillion times and let it sink in. And you say, well, because you can have a wonderful message and you haven't learned it till you can practice it. Practice what we just did. Then you, otherwise I just tried to help say something to you. Practice it. Show it in your life. Then you've learned. Now you can go to the second grade, the third grade. Practice it. It's a simple thing. Wonderful thing. And you know what? And you don't need to have a big IQ. You just need to have a little old heart that gives God all the credit in his wonderful saving grace. That's all you got to have.